Are there other things that you've done that are recent that you think are kind of like trendy or changing the dialogue a little?
I think right now I've noticed kind of two opposite trends. I don't know if they're opposite, but they're very, very different. On one end, I feel like my clients, they want to talk to their audiences for a longer period of time. They want to engage in a more conversational way. So, they want to find the proper tone. We're talking about vocal identity. We're talking about they want to explain what they stand for.
Oh
They
yeah,
want to detail
voiceover's the
their
same way.
offers. Yeah. So podcasting has been a big thing, I have to say.
Totally.
And I feel like it's a new way to advertise as well.
Welcome to Audio Branding, the hidden gem of marketing. Sound plays a more important role in human behavior and our decision-making than you may realize. In this podcast, I'll help you understand the art and science of sound so you can better influence others in business and your life. I'm your host, Jody Krangle. Let's delve a little deeper. Here's the first part of my conversation with Val Fleur. My next guest has 15 years of experience driving innovative brand marketing strategies and communication campaigns for both B2B and B2C brands. Before joining CZMSON, he was a group account director for Havas in Paris, working on high-profile accounts such as Mercedes-Benz and Parc Asterix. He partnered with CZMSON for a retail brand before opening the CZMSON office in Canada and supervising their strategy efforts for both the North American and European markets. He manages brands across the Americas, such as Royal Bank of Canada, Interac, Orient Express, and United Healthcare. His name is Valentin Fleur, and with his extensive knowledge of audio branding, he'll definitely be the perfect person to talk to about the current state of the audio end of advertising, where he feels the industry can innovate, and what might be coming in the future, so stay tuned. As always, if you have questions for my guest, you're welcome to reach out through the links in the show notes. If you have questions for me, visit audiobrandingpodcast.com, where you'll find a lot of ways to get in touch. Plus, subscribing to the newsletter will let you know when the new podcasts are available and what the newest audio chats will be about. And if you're getting some value from listening, the best ways to show your support are to share this podcast with a friend and leave an honest review. Both those things really help, and I'd love to feature your review on future podcasts. You can leave one either in written or in voice format from the podcast's main page. I would so appreciate that. And now, here's my conversation with Valentin Fleur.
Welcome, Val. Thank you so much for taking the time today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. So happy to be here.
Thanks. So I know that we've had a bit of a chat beforehand and we've talked a lot about, well, a lot of things, and we're going to talk about more of that. But the very first question that I want to ask you is if you have an early memory of how sound moved you.
I do actually. It's funny how sound definitely moves us in so many different ways. And when I think about sound, and when I explain what I'm doing, I tend to say that music is pure emotion, and it can manage to connect you on so many different levels. You can bring back a memory, you can bring back an emotion, sometimes a moment in time, and it's what I like about music in general, that it's so well anchored in your personality sometimes, that you can tangibly visualize a moment through sound. So I've always been fascinated by the power of sound, the power of music, and how we can, all of a sudden you step into a car and lightens your mood, but also can, melt your heart in some ways. And when you hear a score on a specific movie scene, for instance. And
Did some particular movie move you when you were a kid? Did you hear a particular album? Was there a particular sound that really impressed
Well,
you?
yeah, I mean, my mom could probably come to my kids. It was like a lullaby and say, "Oh, that's what I remember you singing to me." But I don't have a specific recollection of this lullaby, but I'm sure that she did sing lullabies to me when I was a kid. The one particular memory that I have is my father playing, like, he would blast music on the weekends, like on the Saturday and Sunday mornings. It was Most of the time it was like Jimi Hendrix or The Cure, I have to say. And I used to be waking up to be wake up at in the morning on the weekends with music that he played and he enjoyed listening to. So to me it was like the memory of being all together at our home and yeah, having a good time as a family. So this could resonate a lot. But also my family, that's where I used to live, but also my family is from the Alps, is from the mountains. And my great uncles were shepherds, believe it or not. But it's still like
Wow. Okay.
I'm 40 years old. But when I was a kid, like I would say between 5 and 10, like around 6 to 8 years old, you used to take the cows up the hill, up the mountains, and have those, you know, like those very loud cowbells. So just like those memories of, you know, sitting there in the mountains and contemplating the landscape and hearing those little sounds out there also resonate a lot with me. So it's funny, two different situations, two different, I would say,
Totally.
kind of sounds, but also different memories that are really, I would say, stick with me.
Yeah, the sound of the open fields and mountains. I mean, like, wouldn't that be that would bring you peace now, I would gather.
It's like, it's very, very strange. But yeah, just like it's very little sound. I remember when we know COVID hit and all of a sudden the streets had no sound at all, like no planes, no cars, and finally you could hear nature a little bit more. I felt like we tend to forget about those moments where it's so very, I think, you know, when you're just in the state of contemplation, it's very important to have those little sounds out there.
So
Anyway.
true. Yeah, no, that's a great point to make, and so true. I think that a lot of us really rediscovered a lot of interesting things over COVID.
Yes,
Sound
indeed.
being one of them, definitely. Yeah. So how did you get interested in advertising from all of this? I know that you're a visual artist, right? So you see, do you paint or is it drawing? It seems like it's multimedia.
Yeah, yes,
Yeah.
yeah. So I do draw. I've been drawing for, I can't remember, but it's probably been 30 years, 35 years, I don't know. But I always enjoy creativity in general. Drawing concepts, expressing myself, and then I studied, you know, business and marketing. I have a master degree in marketing for in CPG, and I felt like, you know, connecting this passion of mine with my studies and background was like, you know, advertising and branding in general would be the best way to embrace both worlds and both dimensions of my personality. So that's how I ended up in advertising, and I feel like my career, short career, is already very linear. But yes, branding, advertising, strategic planning, and leading to, you know, stunning branding. It feels like it's everything is very well connected to brand expression and concepts and yeah, brand personality, brand platform. Those things that really interest me in general.
Sure. So how did you then go from the visual representation to the sonic representation? What drew you to the sound?
So it's quite an interesting story because I used to be a client of CZM Son.
I was going to ask you about that too.
So I was working for this big. So I was working for Havas. I was a group account director for Havas for quite some time, and I'm working for this big retail company in the home improvement sector, similar to Home Depot, like massive company, like tons of different touch points, and they were doing great for themselves, you know, and very active, like tons, again, tons of different touch point media, huge media plan, etc. But still, they were not like standing out in terms of awareness and personality. And one of the main competitors had developed recently, like like what I used to call a jingle at the time, like, okay, this little sound that was out there that was performing well, very well, but also was quite nicely done. It was like really embodying it was very lighthearted, really well embracing their brand personality, and I felt like it was very well connected to what I thought they were. So I was like, oh my God, who designed this? Like, I really want to know who came up with this sound. It's quite interesting. So we just, you know, we found out it was CZM Son, the actual company I'm working for right now, and I met my actual boss, Michael Boumendeil, and founder of the agency. And it was basically an eye-opening meeting. It was just very interesting, his approach to sound. And I knew, you know, from, you know, like talking about the way sound affects us and, you know, get to us, that sound was an important component to brand messaging and brand expression. Though for me, it was always kind of an afterthought in my career. It was very illustrative. Yeah, it just floored me with this approach, saying that, you know, having something that's designed specifically for your brand can build that attribution and recall that you are looking for. And I thought that was fascinating. It was the first time someone had expressed the power of sound in such a way, and I was like, oh, this is different. This is intriguing, and I love the guy. Like, Michael is a great man, and a great I have to say, a great boss. But also, like, and it when you meet someone that comes up with a different kind of speech, you feel like, you know, oh, I could work with someone like that. So I always kept them in mind, and then moved to Canada, and we had couple conversation, and we decided to open the office here in Toronto. So that's the story, basically.
I love it. Yeah, it's nice to know that that he had a way of putting that difference, I guess, so that it actually made sense for it to be less an afterthought and more of a, you know, this could be the first thing you think about.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when I was working in advertising, and I told you just now that it was very illustrative. And what I mean by that is, I would come up with the insight with, I mean, obviously with the creative team and the strategic developers, and we'd find the perfect way to express what we wanted to express. But in the end, it would be like, oh, and what about the music? And it would be the end of the process. It would be like, how much do we have left, basically? Like, do we have 50K? Do we have 20K? And when we had a big budget, then we could afford, you know, like a more popular artist. And we're very happy we had this popular artist in our TV ad. But the thing is, when you think about a popular artist and a popular track, well, you know, it's about licensing a track that people probably already heard. And probably, you know, just like me with Jimi Hendrix or The Cure, maybe people have this connection to the track themselves. So it's always tricky, right? And he came up by saying this, like, hey, we have nothing against popular tracks or licensing a popular track. We're just saying be careful because you're recreating this connection between a person, an individual, and the track itself. And maybe they already have this emotional engagement toward the track. If you design something specific, you have less this problem. And then you can create that attribution and recall that marketers are always looking for through sound. So.
Thanks for taking the time to listen. Quick question. Do you know anyone else who could benefit from hearing more about how powerful sound can be? If so, would you mind sharing this podcast with them? It would mean so much to me. Now, I'll stop interrupting and let you get back to the show.
So important. I think that a lot of people, when they think about licensing a popular track, they forget that it's not really ownable. So it's not theirs.
Yeah.
And like you say, it's already associated in people's minds with a whole bunch of other things that they've had happen in their lives. So,
Exactly.
and you don't know if that's good or bad.
Totally. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
And plus, the artist could
But
then go and do something that your company may not approve of or want to be associated with, right? So, who knows?
for sure. And I'm sure people do cry on Happy by Pharrell Williams, you know, like, even though it's pretty upbeat, I'm sure like it could bring terrible memories to other people. We just don't know. Yes. We have very, very little control, on it. So, yeah.
It's one of those things that I think people have to be very careful of. And also, I feel that like deep because as a voice talent, I'm often the last person they call, right? So I like that's why this whole podcast I wanted to sort of get the idea across that sound can be part of the full discussion as opposed to the thing you tack on at the end, which is, you know, what you're saying as well.
I mean, you know, it's funny because I mean, it's been 10 years we've been developing this, but like on my end, since I would say 5 to 6 years, we've been developing what we call vocal identity. So we define this voice archetype as well. So how do you talk to your audiences, right? What is the proper archetype? What is the proper tone? What is the proper expression? And try to find the proper voice for my clients has been quite an interesting journey, and some of them have been embracing it, and it's been yeah it's been quite interesting, quite great, and some stick to their voice, so that's I totally understand what you're saying.
Yeah, I'd love to hear more about that actually. You have a vocal identity that you suggest that they create along with their sonic brand?
Exactly. So basically the idea is to define the voice archetype for the brand. So what
Okay.
is the main personality of the brand? And through this we define the key attributes of the voice. Should be a male, should be a female. We do like a competitive analysis as well. Like do they have like a voiceover that is used with consistency? Is it a male? Is it a female? Does it have a something differentiating? Does it have an accent? So find the proper, I would say, attributes is key. Male, female, tone of voice. And also we go through what we call like a different casting with different readings. So we usually do three different readings. One would be a manifesto video where you just like it has to be more inspirational. Then we have like a promo reading, when we have to be like more insisting on, I would say, on pricing, on characteristics of the products, and then have a regular kind of community advertising, regular day-to-day kind of message. So, and then we test those different voices. Usually we do like I would say a long list of five different voices. We shortlist two, and then we do like a last reading with them. So that's the way we do it.
That's a great idea. Yeah. And so in your experience, how long have people stuck with a voice? I'm always curious about this because often a lot of this is throwaway. Like a lot of advertising lasts for one campaign and then they move on to something else, which I think is part of the problem here because it's consistent repetition that's really going to get that sonic brand to stick. Do you know what
I
I mean?
know.
So yeah. So what do you say to people who just want to use something for a campaign and then move on to the next thing?
So, it's something we have to be very careful about, and especially when there's a new CMO that comes in and wants to redo everything that's been done and
Of
change
course.
all the brand assets. I mean, sometimes it's important to test your sonic assets and your vocal assets and see how it resonate with people in general. And I think it's a great starting point when you want to change something that exists and is performing, just show your clients that it's actually very important and it gets, it is a core attribute. It's a core what's the word? A core asset for them. And then they should not remove it or change it just now. Sometimes we also have this conversation about tweaking the existing, right? Sometimes the melody is not proper anymore, or it's underperforming. When we started working with State Farm, for example, they had a melody that was kind of aging, so we redesigned the architecture, but we didn't change the melody because it's so powerful. So those elements, they are key components, music and voice, and we just have to remind them that, changing now it's going to kill the entire work that's been done for the last usually 3 to 5 years. And it's a core asset that needs, this kind of repetition to build and bring and build that recall and increase that attribution. So it really depends. It's up to them to decide, but that's why we try to tell them.
Yeah, I understand it can sometimes be hard to convince.
Yes.
But yeah, really when it comes to a sonic brand, you need to use it consistently and regularly for it to really take because, but then, there are other ways to come across this and I'm sure that you've dealt with this as well, like for instance, the McDonald's jingle.
Mm-hmm.
which yes. has, I mean, we've, how many times have you probably talked about this one? But, you know, but it started out as a song, and then they started only using the chorus, and then they were only using five notes from the chorus, mm-hmm. and it just kind of evolved from there. So I think a sonic brand can always evolve. It just shouldn't disappear.
I agree, and I think it's quite a success, though it's underperforming. It's funny that in Europe, they stick to the melody
yeah.
a lot, and it's very well performing, so it's very recognizable, and it's always in the top 10. But like in the US, they change it according to, you know, a new launch, or Halloween would have a different a different flavor. And I respect that. I do respect versatility, especially when you have something that strong as the McDonald's Sonic logo. I mean, people know it right away. They don't even have to sign anymore. I mean, even the visual logo, they don't have McDonald's anymore underneath it. I mean, how strong it is.
Yeah. So I'm loving it is like you hear that, that's it, right?
Yeah. And, you know, we do create sometimes what we call Sonic logo ecosystem for our clients, where, you know, we have this Renault client where we created one logo for the passenger car, one for the pros that had more saturated guitar and felt like more robust, something that was more on the Formula One racing, adding those pit stop sounds that you hear, or on the electronic electric vehicles had more digital sound added to the equation. And when you look at those four different logos, you can tell that they all come from the same core melody, but still they had their very own personality. And, you know, it has to start from somewhere, though. I mean, we had to install, and going back to this question you asked me just before, we have to install this melody for quite some time. Usually like 3 years would be our, you know, like the starting point. And then you can expand. But if you don't start somewhere and you add this diversity right off the bat, it could be confusing for the audiences.
Yeah, totally. I get it. Yeah. So I want to ask you a sort of two-part question, because I'm curious as to what you have experienced as a sonic brand that you're particularly proud of, that you've worked on, that you've really enjoyed. But then mm-hmm. I also wanted to ask you about trends in the industry. So what happens when you've worked on something that you're really proud of and trends change? Like, do you change that logo? How do you change it? How much do you change? Like, there's a lot of ways to approach that.
I mean, there's like very recently we just had a very challenging project with one of our clients called Interac. It's in the. Are you familiar with? Are you familiar with Interac?
I'm familiar with it. Yeah.
I know you are.
I live here.
Yeah, I know. I know. I just remember as I asked the question.
Yeah.
But they asked us something very, very strange. And actually, you know, they're all about making sure people stay in control of their money, so they can get more out of life. You know, that's the promise. You know, Interac tagline is in life. And help people, yes, just to be more mindful and be more careful about their expenses. And they wanted to come up, they bumped into this article saying that music affects the way you purchase in different stores. And we were like, obviously very familiar with this kind of things.
Oh, of course. Study, wasn't it? Were they talking about the wine study?
It was in a clothing store. But the wine study is quite the wine study is it's a great one. But anyway, I was like, what are we talking about? Are we talking about sonorization? What is the plan? What do you have in mind? Well, we're thinking that maybe we can do the actual opposite of that. Could we create a track that would make people spend more mindfully? So at first with Michael, we had a little smile, like thinking that was a joke, like do they really mean what they are saying? And they did. I mean, that's what they wanted. Like, how can we use the power of sound not to make sure that people spend more, but actually spend more mindfully, not spend less, but spend more mindfully, but still be pleased with their purchases.
Good distinction.
Yeah, no, it is important because, you know, obviously didn't want people to step into a store and, you know, like, and they have partners obviously interact. So they didn't want their partners to feel like, okay, well, what's happening right now? Like, you're asking people to spend less in our stores? What's going on? That was not the idea. The idea is to be pleased with their purchase, but also be more mindful of what they were purchasing. So that's what we had developed. And that was interesting. And the reason why I'm very pleased with this work is not often you get the chance to reconsider your work and get a chance to collect all the data and studies you've collected over the years about the way sound affects spending, affects the way you behave in store and your behavior in general. So that was, first of all, that was quite an interesting, you know, gathering of elements, and then define the creative roadmap in terms of, you know, instrumentation, BPMs, what could work basically. And then we came up with this 20 minute track that people could actually play, and it impacted the way they behaved in the store. And not only some of them spend less, like people from 25 to 34 spend 40% less, but still were pleased with their purchases. So that was quite, it was an incredible project. We won a bunch of awards with them as well, with Zulu. We partnered with Zulu Alpha Kilo on this project. And yeah, that's great. And also they believed in us from the beginning. So that's great.
Yeah, it's a really interesting project to sort of come at it behind. It's like a roundabout way to kind of come about coming to the audio that it should be. Yeah, 20 minutes.
Are you looking for ways to improve your company's or podcast's impact? You'd be surprised how powerful the use of an intentional audio branding strategy can be. Want to know more? I have a free downloadable PDF that gives you my 5 tips for implementing an intentional audio strategy at voiceoversandvocals.com/audio-branding-strategy. That location does ask to put you on a mailing list, just to send you updates on when the new podcasts come out. But if you really don't want to give your email out, I understand. Just contact me directly. My email is all over my website, and I'll make sure you get that PDF without needing to sign up anywhere. If you do sign up, though, you also get access to a resources section called The Studio, where I have videos, white papers and PDFs, discounts from my guests, and snippets of audio from my guests that no one else gets to hear. So maybe it's worth your while. Totally up to you. And of course, if you're looking for voiceovers, you can get in touch with me about that too. Now, back to the podcast.
So what made you decide 20 minutes for a sound?
Yeah, it's the average time spent.
Oh, shopping in the store.
Yeah.
Oh.
So we're like, okay. So basically we just read this, our track. It was actually 22 minutes, so you know. But our track compared to a 22 minute track of like regular popular tracks, you know, like Dua Lipa and all those artists. So some were tested with our tracks, some were tested with popular artist tracks, and then we were comparing how much they spent basically, and that's how we came up with the numbers I gave you.
So how were they hearing this song in the store? It was being played
or we wish we could have done this, but
they had headphones on.
Yes, exactly.
Okay,
because sometimes, you know, like it had to be independent, and also we promoted the track in the malls, so they could download the track through Spotify. So yeah, they just had to scan the QR code and have access to the tracks themselves. So it was quite interesting.
Yeah, I imagine it would be, actually. And I think, you know, depending on how you mention it, how you describe it, I think people would actually want to hear something like that while they're shopping, just to see if it makes a difference and be happier with their purchases and not spend too much. I think that's awesome. So is that that's a new trend? So I guess new trends, I'm kind of thinking of like, so that's something that's sort of coming at it in a roundabout way. Are there other things that you've done that are recent that you think are kind of like trendy or changing the dialogue a little?
I think right now I've noticed kind of two opposite trends. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're opposite, but they're very... Very different. On one end, I feel like our clients, they want to talk to their audiences for a longer period of time. They want to engage in a more conversational way. So, they want to find the proper tone. We're talking about vocal identity. We're talking about they want to explain what they stand for.
Oh
They
yeah,
want to detail
voiceover's the
their
same way.
offers. Yeah.
Yeah.
So podcasting has been a big thing, I have to say.
Totally. Yeah.
And I feel like it's a new way to advertise as well. I feel like people are, I wouldn't say fed up with advertising, but I feel like they want to choose their advertising. And when you choose to listen to a podcast, that's when you decide to allow this messaging into your life. So I feel like that's why our clients is they start to invest in podcasting way more.
Yeah, I put
So
this as
that's
their BSO meters are way high.
you th
that's how I usually describe
Yeah.
it.
And so that's on longer format conversation, etc. And then on the other end, I feel like it's on a more tactical, as we are all multi-screening, and I feel like my thumb right now has its very own personality with scrolling, and Gen Z are like everywhere on social media, etc. So there are shorter formats. Everything is getting tighter, and everything is getting visually saturated. So how do you create this kind of impression on such a short amount of time? So basically, I feel like we're working more on, like we call them winks, or we call them, like stings, like those little moments and micro melodies where you just start with the iteration of the Sonic logo, and you have to be, yeah, tighter, a little more strategic. Notification sounds also have been quite something. How do you create this engagement and have some personality when this sound has to be between 0.5 and a second long? So
Yeah,
I
that's
feel like there
tough.
are those two dimensions being combined at the moment. And yeah, longer formats and shorter formats, either you have the time or you don't, but that's what it is. And I've read the start, I think it was like at the end of last month, about like Nintendo, this kind of techie snap that they have with the Switch logo. I don't know if you're familiar with it,
Yep.
but apparently it's performing very well for Gen Z. I'm not surprised, but at least it brands the content right off the beginning. So it's a smart move
Yeah.
on their end. And we are encouraging our clients to do that as well. Like we've done that for State Farm with Wolf Ollins. Having a particular animation at the beginning is quite interesting to do.
Okay, yeah. So getting it in the beginning rather than, relying on it throughout
Yeah.
is making more of an impression. Interesting.
Exactly. I mean, especially when you have 6 seconds on a
Oh, yeah.
TikTok video, for example, like boom, you get through. I mean,
Or a
I
YouTube
tell
pre-roll.
exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
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 That's exactly what it is. Especially when you're in the middle now, like in between when you're the second out of the three, you have to create, an impression at the beginning and potentially an impression at the end. Just own your moment, right? So having something strong at the beginning is pretty strategic.
Yeah, especially when people, well, on YouTube anyway, can just, they're waiting for the click. They're waiting for the skip button.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or when you're, we're all multi-screening, watching TV with a phone in our hand. So when commercial is on, then you move on to your phone, right? But having something, like a Sonic logo, something that stands out, I tend to say that ears don't have eyelids. So, you just always hear
Yep.
it and you still create this impression. So
Yeah,
at
you
least
can
you made an
close your
impact.
eyes, but you can't close your ears.
Exactly.
I was just talking to Larry Minsky the last time that I had one of
Yeah.
these discussions, and that's what he says.
Yeah.
And I think Colleen has said that to me too.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's an interesting, interesting perspective, and I think that a lot of us need to pay more attention to what we're hearing. And that means even the noise pollution. So even the things that stress you out, you need to be paying attention to what goes into your environment sound-wise. That can be very stressful.
Yeah.
This has been part one of our interview. I hope you'll tune in next week for part two. Well, that's the end of this episode. Thanks for listening. And if you like what you heard, why not tell a friend about this podcast? It's available in all the usual locations. Until next time.